138. Thank you all for being here today. We do have a bunch of people with the flu and sickness that's going around. The Ghouls are homesick. Amy Bass and her family are homesick. I was going to ask prayer for Wally and Casey traveling with Ann Marsh, but Wally and Casey are here. Ann Marsh went on traveling somewhere else, so remember her in prayer. And especially folks with cancer and that sort of thing, if you pay attention to your bulletin, there's a prayer list in it, and it highlights those that have cancer and such, so please remember them in your prayers. And thank you all for praying for Joy. She has been feeling better, but she's anxious to get these two tests run this week to see what the doctors have to say. Supposedly, the CT scan on Thursday will show if she's got any artery blockages in her heart. So that's what we're looking for. Don Goodman is here, and he's going to have cataract surgery coming up. You know how they do that. They do one eye, and then the next week they'll do the other eye, that kind of thing. So pray that it goes well and that he'll get excellent vision when it's over and be able to see like I can see with my new glasses. These are reading glasses, but they're prescription. Psalm 138, and beginning with verse 1, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness, for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. That's an amazing statement that the psalmist makes, that God has magnified his word above his name. In the day when I cried, thou answerest me and strengthened me with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly. But the proud he knoweth afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. You may face some troublous times this year. You may walk in trouble and difficulty. But if you know the Lord as your Savior, he will protect you. He will provide for you. He will give you what you need. He can revive your spirit so that you can face whatever you face with a confidence that God's on the throne. Don't stay awake at night worrying and fretting and tossing and turning and not being able to sleep with stuff on your mind. Give it to the Lord. He's awake all night long, and he will watch over you. I pray that we'll be a church this year with a testimony for God. Let us be ready at all times to give praise to God with our whole heart and sing praises unto him. And that's part of being filled with the Spirit, is to sing songs, hymns, spiritual songs, and to give praise unto God. First of all, let us worship the Lord in his church. And let us worship him in our homes in the same way. Worship him for his loving kindness and for his truth and his mercy unto us that endureth forever. God's word is truth. We can rely upon it. We can be assured of it. It is the authority that we have to do the work of God is because of the word of God. He has exalted and magnified his word. So let us hear his word and praise him for it when we read it. God is high and lifted up and above all, but yet he has respect, the psalmist said, unto the lowly. Though we walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive us. God will protect us from our enemies. He shall save us. He shall restore our soul. He leads us in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. We are named for the Lord. We are called Christians. Other people called the disciples Christians for the first time at Antioch. It was because they lived in such a way that they were like Christ. God help us to seek to emulate that word, Christian, and be like Christ and be known by his name. We see troubles on every turn. We're in spiritual warfare, and we see our nation and our state and our community facing things that are against the Lord. And in times of darkness, we must keep close to God. He's the light, and his word is the light that shows us the path to walk. And we walk through darkness because we have the Lord who lights our way. We must not become proud and independent and self-sufficient, because we're always dependent upon God. In Isaiah chapter 57 and verse number 15, Isaiah 57 and verse 15, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." To be contrite means to be crushed of spirit. We humble ourselves before God. We're thankful for what God has done to save us from our sins. We got news today of a friend, Connie Williford. Her son is in prison. His name is Jamie. He's 51 years old. He called his mother and said, "Mom, I prayed and asked the Lord to save me." And he said, "Tell your church friends to pray for me, please." Christian people praying for someone who asks for prayer. God will protect us. He will save us. He will restore our soul. He leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. We see trouble on every side, but we look to the Lord. God will take care of us. The psalmist said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, God will take care of me. His right hand will lead me." We follow God, the path of righteousness. We must not become like we think we have all the answers, or we got everything taken care of and we don't have any worries in the world. That's like the Laodicean church of Revelation. They were rich and increased with goods and had need of nothing. But God said, "You have great need. You need to humble yourself before God. You don't know what's going to happen." And we don't know what's going to happen from day to day and year to year to year. But God is sufficient, and the humble and contrite and dwell with him. Secondly, we have established a house of God in this place. This church is the Lord's church. This church is dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ, who has saved us and given us everlasting life. Let us be faithful to praise God for the church. Let us faithfully build it up spiritually and numerically to honor and glorify the Lord. We as a people for God must bear fruit for the Lord. Bearing fruit, there are many ways you can bear fruit. There's the fruit of our lips, we can praise God. There's the fruit of our giving, giving back to God as he has blessed us. There's the fruit of reproduction. Every apple tree has little saplings that grow up underneath it because the seeds fall to the ground and sprout again. And you and I need to bear fruit for God. We have the fruit of the Spirit, and if we'll live the fruit of the Spirit, people will see elements of God in us. We will be godly. Let us as a church teach sound doctrine, that the Word of God is the absolute authority for us to live by. We need to keep personal holiness in our daily lives. We need to follow the spiritual leadership that God has placed here that leads us in the right way. We need to develop a right attitude with a willingness to serve the Lord and to help other people come to know the Lord. Church is not a spectator environment. I've been able to watch a few football games recently. Most of the time I don't have any idea if I'm watching a game that's already been played or not. Unless it says so on the screen, you know, I don't know. Sometimes now they say new. When you're looking in the scroll and go somewhere and it'll say a game and it'll say new beside it. So I'll watch some of it. Usually I fall asleep before it gets over with. But I'll watch a little bit of it. And in these playoff seasons before Super Bowl, they show these massive arenas that people are sitting, you know, 50 feet high, row after row after row after row, and they're full as can be. And you think to yourself, I hope all those people took a shower. I hope somebody hadn't got some kind of serious illness and coughing all over the people next to them and that sort of thing. Because there's a lot of people there. And that's a spectator sport. They have what's called armchair quarterbacks. That means you have these guys that sit in the stands and they say, oh, he should have done this. You know, why didn't he do that? Tell that coach to tell him to do this play or that play. And, you know, that doesn't help them one bit. We need a church where folks are involved. Put on the uniform of a Christian and get involved in the work of the church and the ministry of the church. We don't need to tell the church, oh, you ought to be doing it this way, or you ought to be copying that church or this church or whatever it may be. No, just get involved and help us build the church for God. The Bible says we're to bear one another's burdens. It says we're to go after those that have suffered in a fault and restore them in their walk with God. Most all of us know somebody that's out of church that used to come. And they've gotten in some sins in their life and they've gotten out of church and away from God. And they need to come back. We have an admonition. If we are a spiritual person, we're to go after and reach those people and get them back in the house of God. We're to forgive one another. We have a human nature that all of us need a medicine for. Somebody does something to us, and we don't like it, and we ain't going to forget it. Road rage. Man, I saw some people the other day, it was three or four of them, and they come around me running 60, 70 miles an hour and chasing each other and dodging in and out of traffic and all that sort of thing. And I thought, man, that's dangerous. Somebody could get killed real easy because somebody got mad. The scripture says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. Love gives us the strength to forgive someone who has wronged us. And in forgiving, we can help. It makes our family strong. It makes them Christ-like. It makes us godly members of the church with a testimony among other people. Thirdly, the Lord watches over us from the beginning of the year until the end of the year. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 11, Moses wrote for the nation of Israel in verse 10 through 12, "For the land whither thou goest to possess it is not the land of Egypt from which ye came out, where thou sowest thy seed and watered it with thy foot as a garden of herbs. But the land whither you go to possess is a land of hills and valleys and drinketh water of the rain of heaven, a land which the Lord thy God careth for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year." We've just crossed into the year 2025. I was born in 1951. There's been a whole lot of years go by. I've seen so many New Years. I've made so many resolutions. I've seen church after church after church that has risen to heights and some that have crumbled and fell. But I want to say that the Lord is watching over us, and if we follow Him with our whole heart and obey His word and His commands, then we can have His protection and He will supply our needs. God provides for His people. God protects His people. God will bless His people. Psalm 121, look there with me if you would. Psalm 121. Y'all still awake out there? Psalm 121, verse 1 through 3. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. God's on the throne. He's here for us. He's always awake. We can call upon Him at any time. He will preserve us from all the things that could destroy us. Fourthly, we must be real in our Christian life, not actors playing a part as a Christian. When I was in the Marine Corps, I went to Vietnam. I was 18 years old, just had turned 18. And I strapped an M16 and a pack on my back. And I would go down trails. I would volunteer to walk point. And when I walked, I had my rifle in my hands like this. And my legs would walk like Vic Morrow on the show Combat that used to come on TV that I used to watch religiously. I was imitating him. He was a soldier, and I was being a soldier in a war zone. Sometimes people play professional golfer. They buy the best clubs and the best gloves and the best balls, and they drive and learn to hit more and longer and farther and all that sort of thing like a professional. They play professional golfer on Saturday. Maybe it's hunter or maybe it's fisherman. Brother Darrell and I used to go fishing and we'd play Bill Dance. We'd make a cast from here to the wall back there and drop it right where we wanted it to go, and we'd say, that's a Bill Dance cast right there. We were imitating the professional in what we were doing. When I was a teenager, I imitated cowboys. I had boots and blue jeans, and I had a horse, and I would ride up and down the dirt roads in Newport where I lived. As far as I was concerned, I mean, Gene Autry didn't have anything on me. I could sing. I didn't have a guitar, but I could sing, you know. I played cowboy. Sometimes I'd ride a bucking horse and play cowboy. Sometimes I wish I hadn't played cowboy. Most men who are in business play executive all week long, and some of them on Sunday play Christian. They go to church, and then they go home. But they don't take what they learned with them when they go, because they don't realize it even. They're acting a part. It's not real with them. In Jeremiah 28, 15, and 16, God sent Jeremiah to tell a lying prophet that he was going to die that year for lying to the people of God. 28, 15, and 16. Then said the prophet Jeremiah unto Hananiah the prophet, hear now, Hananiah, the Lord hath not sent thee, but thou makest this people to trust in a lie. Therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I will cast thee from off the face of the earth. This year thou shalt die, because thou hast taught rebellion against the Lord. So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the seventh month. Die for playing a part. He played he was a prophet of God, but he was lying. I want to ask you, what if this would be the last year that we have on earth? 2025. What if this would be the last year? This year, if I live until September, I'll be the same age my father was when he died, 74 years old. There's a song, What If This Would Be the Year That Jesus Comes? The year that we've been waiting for so long. We'd have so little time to get our lost world won if this would be the year that Jesus comes. And then you sing the second verse, What if this would be the month that Jesus comes? The month that we've been waiting for so long. We'd have so little time to get our lost world won if this would be the month that Jesus comes. And then it goes to the day. What if this would be the day that Jesus comes? And then the last verse is, what if this would be the hour that Jesus comes? What should we do if this is the last year we have? First of all, we should make certain that we know Christ is our Savior, that we know we're saved. We know that we can pray and ask God to help us and guide us and direct us, and we can read the Bible and have understanding because we know that we've been saved. Maybe there's something you need to get right with God or with people. Maybe you need to focus more on the Bible in your home and seek to be close to God in your devotional time with your family. Back in 1988, there was a book that was written that became very popular. It was called Jesus Will Come in 1988. It had some biblical principles it was based upon with the types of offerings and what they represent and all that sort of thing. Came down toward the end of the year, and we were meeting in the Union Hall building. I mean, the old City Hall on Main Street in Fort Mill. And I said, well, this is the last service of the year, folks. Don't worry about that book. You know, it's not going to happen. And I saw a lady sit out there and go, oh. She had come that night as a visitor because she thought that book was right and it was going to be the end. You know, she wasn't going to have any more time. It doesn't work that way. And people can't cite the date. God doesn't allow that. He doesn't reveal that to man. She was worried that God was going to come and she was going to be left behind. There may be changes that need to be made in our lives if this could be the last year we have. We may need to restart family devotions with our family and daily prayer and Bible reading. I imagine every one of us here knows 5 to 10 people who are not saved that we could talk to and compel them to come to the house of God and to become a believer before it's everlastingly too late. Maybe you're making excuses for why you're not being faithful or serving God. Maybe you need to go back and read the Romans Road again and polish up on memory on some of those verses so if you get an opportunity to witness to someone, you can tell them how to be saved. I would love to see every person who is a part of the church come to the services Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday school. I know health doesn't allow some of you to come in the night services because of driving and your eyes and that sort of thing. But you can watch live streaming at night and be here in the mornings and the daylight hours. Start being faithful even to the midweek service. Maybe you need to start tithing and giving to missions. The 10% belongs to God. If you're not giving that to Him, then you're using His money. We need to return to separation from sins that have crept into our life if this would be the last year that we had to live. I read a story about a young man in Canada who lived in the West and he had a girlfriend in the East. He had a bumper crop that year, worked very hard, and had a really good harvest. He decided to go visit her, so he got on a train. He went to see her. When he got to her home, she was not home. He learned there was a dance in the town that night, and so he went into the town, And he looked in the window of the place where the dance was. In a room off away from the dance, she was embraced in a man's arms. He just went on back, got a train, left, never told her he came. Broke the engagement. Do you think she would have done something different if she had known he was coming that night? Would you be living different if you knew the Lord could come this year? The parable of the barren fig trees found in the book of Luke, chapter 13, and verse 6 through 9. Luke 13 and verse 6 through 9. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answered and said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. We are to bear fruit for God. And if we're not bearing fruit for God, we're taking up an existence that has no purpose and fulfillment. 2 Timothy 4, Paul was about at the end of his life. He wrote to young Timothy and said, Preach the word. He told him the time will come when men will not endure sound doctrine. He said, Watch, for I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Paul spoke as if he was a drink offering being poured out for the Lord. And he was ready. He asked Timothy to do his due diligence to come to him before winter and bring the cloak that he had left at one of the men's homes. Then he said, For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. How many people have forsaken the church, forsaken the Lord in the right way? But there's an opportunity to come back. Cretans was gone to Galatia. Titus was in Dalmatia. He said, Only Luke is with me. Come before winter. In a war, replacements are desperately needed. After every large engagement and battle, men are wounded, men are killed, and they must be replaced. In 1970, we had 128 Marines killed and 950 wounded. There were constant replacements coming. And a lot of times we didn't really want to get to know them too well because we know they may not be there for long. 28 men from the 28th Marines had never been in combat. They were shooting guns, 105 recoilless rifles and that sort of thing from a compound area, LZ as it was called, for 6 months in Vietnam, but had never been in combat. They were pulled to come with us because we didn't have enough men to go into the battle. And 13 of them was wounded the first day they were in combat. Christians get wounded. They get sidelined. Some quit, go AOL, absent without leave. And we need replacements. The Bible says the mighty are fallen in the midst of the battle. Let's get involved in the work of the Lord in 2025. Let's get more involved in our devotional life and our walk with God so God can use us to tell other people how to be saved before it's too late. We don't know if we'll finish 2025 or not. We just got started. But we need the help of everyone. We urge you to get involved in the work of the Lord. Bob's the number one man to recruit workers in his church. If you want to do something for God, talk to Bob. He can show you a place, a way, what you can do. And you can be a help in reaching folks for Christ. Father, we bow our heads before you. We are ever dependent upon you. We praise you for your mercy and your grace, for saving us, for giving us eternal life. And we ask you, Lord, to guide us and direct us. Draw men unto thee to be saved and to be discipled, to be servants of the Lord. Help all of us to remember how important it is that we live a Christian life. And that means Christ-like. So help us, God, to be Christ-like in our life. Bless your people here today, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.